and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. You're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. The Women's Centre for Change Penang, or WCC Penang, is a women's and children rights organisation which focuses on the issue of sexual abuse of children and its prevention. WCC Penang has long been a crucial organisation in Malaysia's efforts to end violence against women and children and to promote gender equality. So I'm delighted to introduce my guest today, the Executive Director for WCC Penang, Lo Cheng Kui. Cheng Kui, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting us. Yeah, thank you.
So, Cheng Kui, WCC Penang has been doing work in the community, I think, for close to four decades now, if I'm not mistaken. Walk us through a little bit about how WCC has evolved since it was first established in 1985. And how did your journey as an activist intersect with that of WCC?
All right. Thank you very much, Melissa. WCC started actually in 85 by a group of concerned individuals. They were concerned in Penang there was no place that women in crisis could go for help. And we were registered in 1985 in July as the Women's Crisis Centre. That was our original name. So when they started, it was completely by committed volunteers. It was a voluntary organisation some 40 years ago. And they came from all sorts of backgrounds, professional teachers, lawyers, academicians. We started by giving counselling service. That was the first thing that we did. After that, they realized you need to give public awareness on women's concerns. So we gradually evolved from there. In the 90s, as the organization gradually grew, we then were taking up more issues. We were conducting outreach actively, going to flats, running programs for women in low-cost flats. And we were definitely, counseling service was core to our work. We were also actively started to do research on rape, on Muslim women's law. All this were pertinent in the 90s. My journey with WCC, I joined the WCC as its executive director in 1997, some 25 years ago, when I came from a student activism background. I was very lucky when I was studying in UK in the late 70s, the feminist liberation movement, the women's movement was very active then. So they were, you know, it was exciting time. We attended conferences on, you know, basically violence, sexual harassment, equal work for equal pay, unpaid housework. So all this, we could understand that even as a Malaysian. Come many years later, I then started working. So all my life, when I came back from UK, I was volunteering with Women's Aid, then went on to work in Hong Kong with Women Workers Organization. And when I came back to Penang, WCC was my natural place for me to go back to. So
Okay, just to quickly jump in there. So it started, as you said, started out providing counselling services, and that's very much still part of the service that you provide for the community. But it's also branched out now. There's also advocacy that's part of it. There's also the outreach part of your work. Talk to me a little bit about those parts, because it's important for the prevention, for the education and the awareness in community.
Yes. So WCC currently has three big interrelated sections. Our counselling services have expanded to the hospitals. And that is because as we evolved our work, we realized like child sexual abuse was very important for us. And as we work with domestic violence clients, as I was telling you earlier, we were doing research. Our research revealed, we did a five-year research for the court cases for seeking justice for victims of sexual crimes. To our horror, we found out that only we had a 5 years court research, and we found out only there was a 4% conviction rate and a 45% discharge not amounting to acquittal, meaning to say the cases never went to a full trial. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the main reasons is the victims drop out during the process of the criminal justice system, be it at the from the police section, be it at the hospital section, be it at the court trials. So we then decided we have to start working with survivors and victims of gender violence. So at the hospital, so we started by working with the Penang Hospital in 2010. Some 13 years now, we are working with all the state government hospitals in Penang, all the six government hospitals. It's called One Stop Crisis Center, where we give emotional support for the victims or survivors upon their consent. We'll give emotional support. And if the cases goes to court, the advocacy officer, the social worker will accompany them to court. So that's our service. It's gone into service advocacy. But because we're seeing all these cases, we then moved on to do prevention. Mm-hmm. So WCC is very, very active in sexual abuse prevention. We have run prevention programs for over 20 years. Our signature program, Okay Ta Okay, Good Touch, Bad Touch. In recent years, we've actually developed cyber safety program on cyber violence. These two are very core to our organization. So we have three arms now. We have the service, we have this advocacy, we have the outreach.
Quick question about prevention. Who are the stakeholders? Who needs to learn about prevention? Who do you cover?
Well, everybody needs to understand prevention because we you know, it's very sad when incidents happen, when they have to do police report and, you know, it's a criminal situation. So when you look at prevention, firstly, we have to empower the children, all the teenagers, to be able to say no. In our culture, it's really difficult, you know, you're supposed to respect the elders when something happens to do, keep quiet, etc. So at the level of the survivors themselves, we have to teach them, empower them to say no. Then you have the whole issue of school. School has very targeted, thousands of children goes to meet, have access to children. And of course, prevention is public. We need to change public perception on issues of sexual violence. Mm-hmm. And public needs to work hand in hand with the government agency to actually do prevention.
So over these, 25 years that you've been with WCC, how has the evolution of this NGO presented the challenges? I mean, how have you dealt with the challenges that WCC has had to face over the years? What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you faced?
I think for all nonprofit, everybody faces two big challenges. One is regular funding. You know, we don't produce things, we don't make profit of our business, it's a community service. So one is to have regular funding, the other is to grow a good group of good staff who are committed to support your work and grow your work. So how did we do it? Well, prior 2018, WCC has been very lucky because we have been growing our work. We used to get money from development agencies from Holland, Netherlands, and also Germany. But because Malaysia moved into a situation of a developed nation, so many funders left Malaysia actually in the 80s, in the 90s. So right now, one of the main work, actually my main work with my colleague is actually looking for funding, and this is now annual, so it makes our work very tough. I think one of the most interesting initiatives we did was to start up a value shop. So since 2018, we've started 5 years ago, we started a value shop where we get donations from the public and build ourselves as a value for money. The goods are free. We have part-time supervisors, wonderful group of 20, 30 volunteers that come and sort out, you know, the clothes, price the clothes, be sales assistant. we were badly affected by the COVID, but last year, since we slowly picked up business, so that's a steady means of income for us.
But does that mean the organization is financially stable? What can corporations, individuals who are watching tonight, do to help, especially when it comes to one of the biggest challenges in providing this service to the community?
Yeah, so we would like to say we are good in our business of helping the community. We would certainly love corporate or, you know, individuals to actually donate. You know, my website is up on there. Just have a look. There's a donate button. You know, there's a QR code. And every dollar and every cent is very important to the organization, because with that, we're able to create new programs, look out for new activities to actually meet the challenges we have in our work.
All right, thank you so much for that link that you've provided. We're going to take a very quick break here on The Futures Female. We'll come back and continue this conversation with Lo Cheng Kui of WCC Penang. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Future is Female. I'm speaking to Lo Cheng Kui, the Executive Director of the Women's Centre for Change, WCC Penang. We were just talking about one of the biggest challenges that the organisation faces, which is ensuring that the organisation remains financially sustainable throughout its and not impacting its operations. I want to ask you a little bit, Cheng Kui, about the way you have approached your work throughout the years. I'm wondering, you know, after so many years of doing work in this area of trying to ensure, to help the survivors of sexual abuse and to engage the community for educating for its prevention, how has that changed over the years, your approach to advocacy work?
Well, to tell the truth, I never imagined I'll stay with this organization for so long. But I think for one to be involved in NGO work, one has to have the belief and the commitment and supported by good people. And we are able to do that in WCC. And I think that's very, very important for our work. And as I said, how have we been able to sustain our advocacy work? We are able to develop our work in a very systematic way. And to give you an example, as I was telling you earlier, that we started working with Penang Hospital. Once, because of the cases we saw, the dropout of victims of sexual violence, once we started to do that, we realized that, oh, nurses and doctors need training to understand victims, what's happening to them when they go to the hospital. Then, as we developed that, we then realized that when they go to court, that's another huge challenge of understanding the complex structure of court. So as we grew our work and we do research, we're able to complement and develop resources. And for that, then we have to appeal to funders and sponsors who understand what we're doing is very important for the community. So we're able to sustain this work that we started by working with the hospital. Now we are training police, we are working with the judges, we are developing humongous amount of resources. People can go into our website and you see the amount of resources we develop. During COVID time, when we have to pivot ourselves all the way online, we develop online cartoon books for children. And one of our book, Lisa and a Secret, had over 2 million hits, and we were like completely overwhelmed by the amount of people that were interested on the issue. It just shows the public needs to actually have more awareness on this issue. Yeah.
I love those books. I think they are so wonderfully accessible. I love that it's in all vernacular. It's really wonderful, those little graphics that you make. I've been following them for a long time, and I think that that's such amazing work. When you talk about building capacity in medical professionals, in law enforcement, in the criminal justice system, does that present a challenge that you are outside of the Klang Valley? The reason I ask is because most advocacy, women's groups, consultation, engagement, federal government level work is very Klang Valley centric. Does WCC face that in direct or indirect exclusion from the conversation simply by being geographically distant from the capital?
Well, it has both advantage and disadvantage. Advantage in the sense that we're away, so we are very active at the community prevention level. The disadvantage is often there are meetings called by ministry and they expect us to spend our own money and fly in for meetings. But now it's possible because we try to do online. So I think WCC is in that special position that we can take advantage and therefore we continue to do a lot of ground realities. And that makes our organization very special. We're able to talk about it. We're able to give examples. You know, we are actually from the ground because we counsel victims and we talk to victims. Even all our storybooks are based on real life stories.
Oh, I didn't know that. It was based on real life stories.
Because we hear about it, we do research, and because we hear from our clients.
Oh, wow. Okay, well then I do have to ask you, because you have such a perspective that is so tied to the community and, you know, on the ground work, what's missing from the conversation, Chenku? What are the areas of children, women and children's rights, particularly in the area of abuse and sexual abuse, that you think are not being highlighted enough, are not being talked about enough, or are paid enough attention?
I think in terms of what are pressing issues of women and children, I think there are many. As we deal with domestic violence issues and all this, the reality of the Malaysian society is still very much the social and cultural barrier, which we still have to confront when we are counseling the women or children. The whole expectation that you have to cover sometimes when issue happen, be it domestic violence, be it incest, and it's very painful for us when we see such things. So it is a challenge. How does the support system come in? Attitudinal, the attitudes of family members, of the enforcement officers, and having the enforcement officers having the skills and the knowledge to ever support the victims, rather sometimes blaming the victim. Why did you go out at night? Why did you go out with your boyfriend? So there's so many challenges that we face in actually handling these issues.
Have you seen it change over the years? I mean, since the 90s, have you seen social norms and the way society in general and even enforcement officers in general deal with vulnerable communities or deal with view this issue? Has it changed?
Well, I personally have seen the social norms change, but very, very slow, no question about this. When we started doing prevention program in school in the early in the 90s, it was still a very much small NGO talking about sexual abuse. We had gone to school, run the programs. We got USM lecturers to curate the drama for actors to go to schools to. And then we found it was non-sustainable. We then developed it into such a thing as VCD in the old days. Then currently in the thumb drive. Then we created stories and things like that. But right now, we have laws, mm-hmm. Yeah. The Sexual Offences Against Children Act. We have the Child Act. So all these laws are in place now. Our challenge is really getting, professionalizing our enforcement officer. If victim feels that they get support when they go and make this report, you know, then the survivors can have access to their rights. And that's what it's all about. How do we reduce violence against women and children?
Can I ask you a personal question? In the 25 years that you've been working with WCC, and in the future that you see yourself with them, what do you hope to achieve? What is the end vision for your work? I mean, in terms of the long term, what are you hoping to achieve through your work?
Well, I think for me, violence against women and children it's a never-ending story. And cases are increasing actually all the time. That's the sad part. Mm-hmm. I think the good part of it is the public has become more and more aware. And the public is also making agencies, government agencies, who are the implementers of the laws and the policy, to make them accountable. So how do we match, better equip the skills and knowledge of these agencies? How does the public also play a shared responsibility that we all have a role to help children, to protect women and the vulnerable communities towards really ending violence against women, because it has a devastating impact on their lives for a long, 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 long time.
Do you ever get discouraged in your work? I mean, I know it's such important work, but how do you keep the motivation to work, especially when you're faced, you know, NGO work or community work is very difficult when it's on the ground. You're dealing with survivors and we're dealing with victims. How do you keep going?
Well, I think some of the things I learned from my social worker is that you empathize the case, but you don't sympathize, meaning you feel your emotions. Of course, we get upset. Of course, we get distraught and frustrated with some of the cases. I mean, we can have incest case where the mother becomes a hostile to the child, blaming the child, etc. I think the important thing is actually to actually believe that society changes. You know, our tagline is change is possible. And as society changes, it always changes for the positive. It is very slow. I think when you have the passion and the belief on this, you are able to carry on. And, you know, I would like to see, I mean, the very fact that we have so many changes on women's rights and on child rights, it's because we have more and more people coming on board to say this is something is very important, and we have to do that for our women and children in our society.
Chinku, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I really appreciate your time, and thank you for all your service and your good work. That was my conversation with Lo Chinku from the Women's Centre for Change Penang. I'm Melissa Idris, and I will be back with you same time next week for another episode of The Future's Female. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.